Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Courtney Morris, Assistant Professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. Hi, Courtney. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has won a stunning victory in elections held yesterday. His Likud party trumped projections by pollsters and won more seats than any other party, including the newly formed rival Zionist Union Party. In the days before the election, Mr. Netanyahu tacked openly to the hard right wing of Israeli politics, including declaring there would be no Palestinian state if he won a second term and appealing to Jewish voters to counter the enthusiastic Arab Israeli vote. It appears as though his tactics paid off, but victory may have come at a steep price for Netanyahu, who now has to contend with few allies left both inside and outside Israel. Arab Israelis, who are 20% of the population, also turned out in record numbers and voted a united coalition of Arab parties into the Knesset with 13 seats, the third largest bloc this election and the largest ever won by Arab parties in Israel. The joint list, as it's called, is headed by 40-year-old Ayman Odeh and campaigned on an anti-racist platform. Courtney, are you surprised by these results?
Well, I would say yes and no. I mean, I think obviously yes, in the sense that many of the polls leading up to the elections predicted that Netanyahu was going to have a much tighter race than in fact it turned out to be. But no, I'm not surprised in the sense that I think that in some ways his victory really seems to be in keeping with the rightward shift that we've been seeing in mainstream Israeli politics. I mean, I think here in the West, we might have been surprised to hear Netanyahu say that he would never support the creation of a Palestinian state. But in practice, this is essentially what he's been doing for years. Right, blocking the negotiations process, continuing Israeli settlements in the occupied territories, and also continuing his military assault on Gaza. So, in the sense, it's not surprising. I think that he was really able to play on the fears of the Israeli public about terrorism and the place of Arab citizens in the Israeli body politic, and that really worked out in his favor. But you know, as you said, I think he's really going to have a challenge on his hand getting himself out of the mess that he's created for himself, not only in Israel but also in terms of repairing his deeply fractured relationship with the Obama White House.
Right. And in a story that's still developing as this program goes to air, Tunisia's National Bardo Museum is the site of a major hostage-taking and shooting incident this morning. Two or three armed men apparently took several people hostage and killed at least eight people in the Tunis Art Museum, seven of them foreigners. It was being reported that 10 hostages were being held, and as of now, dozens of people have been injured. Police have apparently shot two of the attackers, as per the Guardian newspaper, and a total of at least 11 people are dead. As of now, it is not clear who the attackers or what their motivations were. The museum is close to Tunisia's parliament, where lawmakers were debating an anti-terrorism law today. Some are speculating that the parliament may have been the original intended target. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., early this morning, a drive-by shooting in Stockton, California, left three people dead and four injured near a convenience store. The circumstances of that attack are still unknown, but authorities are calling it one of the worst mass shootings in the city's recent history. Courtney, it's too early to tell what has happened at either of these shootings, but the common thread seems to be access to firearms. What do you think?
Well, I think there's definitely some truth to that, although, you know, these are very different cases. I mean, obviously in Tunisia, you know, Tunisia has been dealing with the challenge of you know, these sorts of attacks since the successful regime change that took place there following the Arab Spring. And certainly there are indications that this may be a related kind of attack, especially in light of the discussion of the anti-terror bill, but also in light of the killing of a Libyan man, Ahmed Rouissi, who was suspected to have been involved in several terror attacks in Tunisia. So there's a possibility that those may be linked, but we're not sure yet. But in Stockton, you know, the case is a lot less clear. I mean, I think that we have so many of these kinds of random killings in the U.S. It suggests that perhaps we really need to rethink our relationship to guns and to the Second Amendment, because weapons are just way too accessible in this country, and the results of it are awful.
And by the way, the Tunisian prime minister is now announcing that 19 people are dead in Tunisia. Finally, in Europe, a mass action in Frankfurt against the European Central Bank, or ECB, has put police and authorities on edge. At least 10,000 people marched under the title of Blockupy, a name derived from the Occupy Wall Street movement, to denounce anti-austerity policies pushed by the ECB in countries like Greece. The ECB was set to inaugurate a new building that reportedly cost an unimaginable $1.4 billion. The ECB president, Mario Draghi, was scheduled to speak at the opening. Police in Frankfurt say that protesters threw stones and damaged police cars, even setting some of them on fire. The criticisms by protesters echoed what Greece's new finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis, has been saying, that these banks have stood in the way of solving Europe's financial crisis. Well, Courtney, Greeks are starving and the ECB built a new building for $1.4 billion. Are you heartened to hear that people are protesting?
I absolutely am heartened to hear that people are protesting. I mean, austerity measures simply do not work. And in Greece, the consequences of this have been disastrous. There have been massive cuts to public sector employment, increased homelessness, increased rates of suicide, a number of people who have lost access to public health care. It's just not working. And I think that people are finding that even though transnational financial institutions like the IMF and the ECB are willing to bail out banks and governments, but they're not willing to bail out people. Making decisions, policy decisions that affect the lives of regular citizens, and citizens have no oversight in that process, and these institutions have no accountability to the people who are most impacted by these kinds of measures. So I think it is a heartening sign to see this sort of movement growing, and hopefully we'll see it spread to other places as well.
Courtney, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Sonali.
Courtney Morris is an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.